You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of BaseAnalysis.com. Be sure and follow me on X. You can also find my YouTube channel. I just hit 200,000 subscribers. So I want to remind you that we do cover this material, this type of material, and more on a regular, consistent basis. I do live streams almost every day or two on my channel. It's a lot of fun. We got a growing community over there. So come join me at Jay's Analysis or Jay Dyer on YouTube. We're talking about the move towards Chrislam, and I mentioned Frank Herbert and his background and the philosophy that he put into the Dune novels. And as the series progresses, it gets more and more wild and more abstract and esoteric, but also perhaps prophetic. Again, within the Dune story, we have not just this idea of a future where the AI takes over and eventually gets banned. They had to do what they called a Butlerian jihad against AI. But the reason they had to do a Butlerian jihad is also because there's a union between the Roman Catholic Church of the future and Islam. And they have a new Bible that's called the Orange Catholic Bible, which includes a lot of Sufi and Islamic indigenous sort of prayers. It's almost a kind of triad of syncretism of Islam, Sufism, and Catholicism, and paganism altogether. And Frank Herbert, I think, foresaw the possibility that this might be a potential future religion, a future religion that could in some way perhaps prepare the way for the universe's super being, the Kwisatz Haderach, as it's called in the novel. If we translate that into reality, that would, of course, be a kind of antichrist. Now remember, Islam is predicated on the idea that Allah has no sons and Christ is just a human man. He's merely a prophet, a good guy, but a mere prophet. According to 1 John, that's actually the spirit of Antichrist. To deny the deity of the Son of God in classical Christian theology for the last 2,000 years, and according to 1 John chapter 2, means that you've really surrendered the essence of Christianity. This is why the First Ecumenical Council at Nicaea solidified the doctrine that the Son is homoousios, or equally divine with the Father. That means he's fully God. He is eternally begotten of the Father, and thus his natural sonship is the means by which we become sons of God through baptism. That's Paul's teaching in Galatians 3. So to deny those ideas would then be to put one outside of classical Christianity, and according to 1 John 2, of the spirit of Antichrist. So I understand that, for example, Tucker's idea is perhaps to drive a wedge between this plan that perhaps Zionist or rabbinic Judaism has to use Islam as a way to go to war against the Christian West to wipe out what they consider Edom or Rome. But the problem is that you can't make an alliance with Antichrist against another Antichrist. We know that rabbinic Judaism hates Christianity. It's open about that. It always has been in its Talmud and in its teachings codified since the 3rd, 4th, 5th century onwards. But it doesn't make Islam suddenly a friend of Christianity, because Islam appears to say that we're friendly and we have this shared idea that Jesus is a prophet and Mary is a virgin. Yeah, but Jesus isn't just a prophet. And to say that he's just a prophet is, again, an antichrist spirit, according to 1 John 2. So this is really fundamental to understand that you can't make an alliance with Antichrist as if you're going to join with Tony Soprano against the five families. It's not Christian. It's not Orthodox. It doesn't work. It's not going to be a feasible system. And Islam, for example, is all about child brides. It's all about all kinds of degenerate practices. And so the mask of morality that it has is really that. It's a mask. It's a performative religion. It's Sneeko going and praying in public and showing himself at Mecca on his phone so everybody sees him doing religious works. It's performative. it's not an internal transformation of the man by grace. That's why Islam is a religion of externals explicitly. And they also teach in the Quran that you have absolutely every right when you're in the minority to smile with your face, but hate them in your heart. And when Islam, when it's strict Orthodox Islam, they believe that they have a duty to rid the world of idolaters, and including Trinitarians. If you believe in the Trinity, you're an idolater, according to Islam. So the nice face that many Muslims, cultural Muslims, secular society Muslims put on is a temporary face until they gain the upper hand, and then they believe that you are to be put under subjugation. The Quran actually teaches this, as do the Hadiths. It's not just the Quran, it's the Hadith traditions as well. And on top of that, we have to understand, which never gets brought up, except that now it begins to be brought up more on X because people keep sort of pushing the issue. Nobody's talking about the fact that the Muslim groups that are the most horrendous, typically, are the ones fostered by Western intelligence agencies like the CIA and the Mossad. They're the ones propping up people like Jelani, to take down Assad, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, etc. Those are all Western proxy groups. And I think the same thing is going on with probably with Boko Haram and those African groups that are terrorizing the Christians there. It's the same Western strategy of tension to fund and use these groups as proxies. So where was Pope Leo on any of that? If he wanted to call out the problems of America and the Trump administration and so forth, then he could go all the way back to funding and supporting radical Islam. But he did probably the worst possible thing, which was to say, actually, maybe we should be BFF with Islam. Maybe we need to buddy up with Islam. Maybe we need to let more migrants into Europe. This is insane. And the papacy itself, the Vatican has a giant leonine wall built centuries ago around it to keep people out. I've been to the Vatican. When you go to the Vatican, there's Secret Service everywhere. It's preposterous. It's insane levels of hypocrisy. Because they're not letting all of these migrants come live in the Vatican. I mean, I might listen to your moral virtue signaling and your moral blackmail if you actually operated this way. But they don't operate this way. And that's because the Vatican is a long-captured institution. Who's it captured by? Well, turns out we've been lecturing through several elite books on my channel for a long time. For 10 years, we've lectured through the top elite establishment books. No one else does this. Mine is the only channel that consistently lectures through about 70 now in the last decade, top writings of the elite. And all of these books say exactly what they're doing. I just did a very long interview with a very popular musician and commenter, Zuby. We did an hour-long interview today about who the elite are and how does Epstein give us a window into that power structure. Well, everybody's already forgot about Epstein. And the same oligarchs that are united with Epstein just met at Bilderberg. And what do they talk about? Were they talking about Trump memes and this and that? No, that's fodder for people to yap about and tweet about, which everybody will forget in a week anyway. But the oligarchical technocratic agenda keeps marching on because we don't look at those people and focus on those people running things behind the scene, but also in public. So they're semi-hidden and semi-public. And I think the elite figured out a while back that that's actually a better method than having a totally secret society way to run things or being totally out in public. Just make it semi-private, where you have public groups like Bilderberg, CFR, Trilateral, IMF, World Bank, Brookings Institute, on and on and on, RAND Corporation, thousands of think tanks, NGOs, foundations, steering committees. Those run things. And you notice you don't vote for any of them. They don't change. They stay there. The CFR was set up in the 1920s by the Rockefellers. Has anybody voted for the CFR? And yet you've had countless CFR members be heads of the CIA, heads of the OSS, heads of every possible government agency you could think of. That's who is the permanent breakaway national security establishment that runs things. And you're always given to the fodder and the puppets and the people in the front that you think run things. And then you vote the rascals out and you get a new batch of rascals that do all the same stuff. And when are we going to figure out that nothing changes because the system is set up so that nothing changes? That's the reality of things. It's the old boy networks like the OSS and the CIA that we've been lecturing about on my channel. Again, no one else lectures through these books. Why are more people not coming and watching my channel and what I talk about? I don't understand. Everybody will watch every possible idiot influencer out there, but they won't come and listen to the elites themselves telling you how the world works and how they run things. And you might be surprised to know that they actually tell you everything in the books. And not just in these books, but also in the fiction books. Books like Dune, right? Dune 3 is coming out. Dune 3 seems to be pretty prophetic because it predicted a union of Catholicism and Islam. And we're seeing that play out right before our very eyes this very week. And it was mentioned in the Vatican II documents in the 1960s explicitly. So when we study these people and when we look at things like the Bilderberg Group, Daniel Esselin's classic book, of course, Esselin has been on Alex Jones countless times for two decades or more. I just did a lengthy interview with Daniel Esselin that will be going up pretty soon. And I talked to him about all of this, and we came to the same conclusion that Epstein is a window into elite organized crime structures that operate on an international specter level scale, like you see in James Bond. Also this week, my really long in-depth interview on John Kiriakou's show will be going up. So I would encourage you to go watch that because we went very deep as well. And I took a lot of these questions to John as a probably, you know, the most prominent CIA whistleblower who blew the whistle on the torture program and then was prosecuted by the Obama administration for doing that. And went through quite a bit to be, you know, persecuted for standing up for what was right. And I took a lot of these questions to John. I said, you know, I want to know what you think. Do you think that I'm right when I give this analysis and when I talk about these elite texts and so forth? And he said, absolutely. I interviewed Colonel Douglas McGregor a while back, and we had the exact same conversation about the global elites and their plans. And he said, you're absolutely correct. WEF, Davos, all of these entities are pushing for this technocratic agenda. And it doesn't matter what politicians come and go, those things don't change. Why? Because we're actually run by this supranational, international elite. A huge faction of it, obviously, is Zionist. And that's why things don't change. So we've got to focus on Bilderberg, and we got to focus on CFR and Trilateral and all these things, because that's who really runs things. It's not Donald Trump calling the shots on everything, even though there's an appearance that Donald Trump calls the shots on everything. And Trump seems to think that he's infallible, impeccable, and he can't lose and he can only win. Well, pride goes before a fall. And God has a tendency to humble people who get extremely arrogant like that. So I don't hate Donald Trump or anything like that. I would like to see the country flourish. I'd like to see us get back on track where we were, you know, prior to this last 8 months or year of going off the rails. So we got to look at Bilderberg. We got to look at the Federal Reserve, because those are the entities that don't get voted out, that don't change. Doesn't matter if the Federal Reserve head comes and goes. The Federal Reserve itself is the problem. It controls and hijacks the nation and its productivity and its monetary power through the fiat fractional reserve banking system. And guess what? All of these books admit that. When Carol Quigley wrote Tragedy and Hope, he spent the first 200-300 pages talking about the fractional reserve banking system and how it controls the nations and how the Rothschilds figure out that that was a great way to, for example, in the 1700s, through the Paribas system, control France. And then they expanded to the Bank of England. And they expanded elsewhere through proxies like J.P. Morgan. So this is the real power structure. It's not a conspiracy theory when they admit it in their books. It would be a theory if there wasn't evidence to back it up. It's not a theory when the people involved in it admit it. And we all know this from lower level criminal stuff, right? People know that criminals like to brag. They're very braggadocious. They're very narcissistic. They crave the attention and the praise from getting away with it. Serial killers. We know that serial killers do this. Well, guess what? People at the level of a Kissinger and a Brzezinski and these people, they do the same thing. It's just that they're smarter than Jeffrey Dahmer or any of these other people. They brag about it in their 500, 600-page books, which nobody reads. So they know that nobody's going to do anything and nobody's going to care, because most people are not going to speak out against something like that because they'll be perceived as oddballs, crazy, kooks, or whatever. So the CIA invented the term conspiracy theorist during the JFK event to castigate anyone who would question it as some immediate nutball. And that was all admitted and declassified recently, by the way, or readmitted via the JFK files. But, you know, we saw this turn, I think, with the JFK files, which is interesting that people have already forgotten about that one. When we saw James Jesus Angleton, the Israeliophile operative of the CIA, essentially kind of move what looks to be move the CIA away from more of an Arab contact setting towards an Israeliophile setting. We know that, for example, under Angleton, there was a backdoor channel with the Mossad where a lot of those declassifications showed he was passing intelligence to them, unbeknownst even to the rest of the CIA. And that's because he had commitments to the World Zionist League at that time, thinking that that would be a way to win the Cold War. If they could get Israel on board with the CIA's approach, then they could defeat Stalin and the NKVD. That was the thought process or his reasoning there. But then what happens is that sort of puts you in league with that entity, and then you become more and more on the hook to Israel. And then what happens is, you know, we saw the JFK event, you see the rise of AIPAC after that, and then you see more and more influence on American foreign policy through those kinds of interests. So that's how we got into the dilemma that we're in. And to even talk about those things for so many decades was actually just a no-no. You couldn't even talk about that, much less think about it. And now we're seeing legislation being pushed, of course, to try to criminalize even mentioning or talking about that in various states in the United States. So that tells you right there that that's exactly what's going on. They wouldn't criminalize it if it wasn't a real problem and a real threat. So how do we get out from under this? Well, we got to figure out how to expose and not be under international, unaccountable, unelected bureaucrats and NGOs and think tanks and foundations that have the ability to change laws and lawmakers through lobbying or whatever, or just bypass the law and do whatever they want because they're outside of regional law prosecution or whatever, right? International institutions have that power, that ability. They can escape. They can get away from regional prosecution. So we have to understand that we're under international control and influence. That's not just located in one specific area or region. It's international corporations, international banks, and they hold countries hostage through things like IMF debt and IMF loans. And those loans come with stipulations that if you take that money, you're now beholden to a lot of Western ideas and Western power and influence. So once again, what is that? That's the banking system. That's the central banking, private banking model. That's the real locus of power. If they didn't have that, the rest of it would fall apart. But that's the real locus of power. And we still have not figured that out, right? People thought, oh, well, we got Doge in, and Doge is investigating USAID, and that's all great. But that's just one, arm of the leg of the octopus. And when you cut that one off, there's 20 other arms. So yeah, it's good to cut one major funder and covert operations thing like USAID, but they just create another one, right? So who though? Well, it's the head of the octopus. You can't just cut off one arm. It's the whole thing, right? You can't just cut off one of the heads, one of the snakes on Medusa's head. She'll just grow another one. It's Medusa's head itself, which is the oligarchical elite that I'm talking about. It's the people at Bilderberg. And the fact that there was only three people at Bilderberg protesting it and exposing it shows us that we haven't really come that far, unfortunately. Don't mean to be blackpilling. I'm just making the point that we want to change things. We want to fix things. Well, the technocratic agenda marches on, and Donald Trump was not a stop at all to that agenda. And they want a CBDC. They want a controlled digital universal fiat currency that the private central banks can snatch out of your wallet at any moment, your crypto wallet. I'm not talking about Bitcoin. I'm talking about crypto CBDC, totally two different things. That's what they want. They want a centralized control mechanism, not a decentralized digital currency. That's why they don't like Bitcoin. And you saw, for example, even with Trump, right? We heard, oh, it's strategic Bitcoin reserve. Never happened. What do we get? Oh, let's have stable coins and a stable coin fiat reserve. But that's not what we originally heard about. We heard about Bitcoin, and that shifted over into stable coins. That's not Bitcoin. It's something else. So what's the overall plan? Well, we saw when Dan Dix did his report that Bilderberg wants to focus on AI and tech and control. You saw Palantir-related people involved in that Bilderberg discussion. Again, stuff that Theo Vaughn has called out on various podcasts, stuff that has been, you know, exposed as involved in all kinds of conflicts, surveillance, you know, overstepping people's privacy, all part of an idea to create a tracking, tracing, total information awareness grid. And if you read a 0 to 1, Peter Thiel's book, he says that, yeah, this was all created for the NSA and for total control, supposedly to fight terror. Well, who's going to be the terrorists of the future? Who are they saying is the terrorists? Well, it turns out Klaus told us this in Cyberpolygon. He said, anyone in alternative media who questions the narratives, and when we have a Cyberpolygon, Klaus said, all of those who oppose the system's solutions are the terrorists. So that's who the terrorists are, anyone who's opposing the system. The NATO cognitive warfare document said the exact same thing. The future terrorists are those who oppose NATO's cognitive warfare, which includes drones, Skynet, implantable nanotech, et cetera, and the changing of the biology of the human itself through genetic experimentation and through gene therapies. Right, the NATO document says that those are the terrorists. If you oppose it, you're the terrorist. Not Al-Qaeda, not ISIS. That's not the terrorists of the future. The terrorists of the future are the masses who don't want this stuff shoved down their throat. So we cannot lose focus and lose sight on the fact that the socialist international Fabian technocracy is what will continue to march forward. That is the CBDC WEF plan. That's the Davos plan. That's the Bilderberg plan. They're the same. You've got people from Bilderberg going and being the political heads of Canada. Like, this is what's really going on. This is who's running things. And only three people were protesting it. That's insane to me. I remember years ago, and Alex said this to Dan Dix, there would be 4,000 people protesting Bilderberg. What has happened? Because Trump got elected, we suddenly have, oh, well, none of those things matter. There is no Bilderberg anymore because Trump got elected. That's crazy. We totally lost sight of who's really running things because we have this sort of puppet show that gives the appearance of opposition. But it's like WWF, right? We can't forget that party politics itself will never really be a long-term solution. You might run as a independent or as a GOP locally and get elected and do some good. I'm not saying you can't do that. But I think at the national level, you have to understand that national, international politics is probably never going to change because it's essentially controlled by people with tremendous amounts of money, billionaires, right? Adelson level billions of dollars is what really calls the shots in DC politics, not Jimmy Stewart in that movie, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, right? Where Mr. Smith decides that the fat cats are corrupt in Washington and why, by golly, he marches there and gets elected and gives them what for. Okay. That's not how it works. Okay. You don't do that. And I think in that movie, if you watch, it's pretty funny. It's so unrealistic. He gets the Boy Scouts to help him print up papers that expose the corruption. I mean, it's almost absurd satire with how silly it is. Now we have to focus on Bilderberg. We have to think about the, when you watch Dune 3, when it comes out, I'm looking forward to it, but think about who's really running things behind the scene, right? Who are the Bene Gesserits? Who's really running Baron Harkonnen and the Emperor and all these people from the background? It's a shadow elite. And that shadow elite is an oligarchy that doesn't go away with this or that election. Be sure and go to the Alex Jones store and support Alex there and get all those products. follow me, Jay Dyer, on all the social media outlets.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies, the delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact? Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health. With Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.